It's time to explore wrestling's past and potential future with your weekly dose of a segment we call What If, only found here on the WWE Podcast.
Hey, everybody, welcome to What If. Anthony DeMarco is going to join me in just 1 second, but I want to let you know that this show actually got cut short at the end. It kind of ends abruptly, and that's just because I had a couple screaming kids that interrupted my show and wasn't able to complete it, but we did get through the majority of this What If. So I wanted to let you know up front that, yes, it ends kind of awkwardly and abruptly, but that's because I had to play dad. And honestly, I've done a lot of podcasts since we had our latest newborn baby girl, and she has not bothered me during any of my other shows. So it was about time, right? Like, I was due for this to happen. So it did. And nonetheless, though, I think you will enjoy this show. Anthony DeMarco and I cover what if Ronda Rousey were to return to WWE. So, without further ado, let's just get to that recording of Anthony and I. And again, I apologize for the end of the show. It just kind of veers off into nothing. Like, it just, the conversation stops like mid-sentence. But just letting you know that up front to soften the blow. But I hope you still enjoy the show regardless. And tomorrow I'll be back with the Raw review as always. And then Wednesday's our mailbag. Saturday we'll be doing the preview and prediction for the Survivor Series pay-per-view. Sunday night will be your review for the pay-per-view, and then back to your regularly scheduled programming the following week, which is Thanksgiving week. So, all right, everybody, thanks so much for listening. Here we go with Anthony and I talking about Ronda Rousey right now. Well, it's Monday night, and that means it's time for another What If segment of the show with Anthony DeMarco, of course. And tonight we're going to talk about a topic that, honestly, I'm surprised we haven't touched on yet with all the what ifs that we've done. And we, to be honest, I don't think that we have really touched on the women's division a whole lot. So let's give the women's division some love here on the what if. And I'm ready to talk. What if Ronda Rousey returned to WWE?
Yeah, man, really looking forward to this, because I feel like Ronda Rousey was one of those rare cases where they left while they were theoretically still in their prime. Because I don't think it's one of these cases that if Ronda comes back, she'll be like an old like veteran or like one of these legends that come back way past their prime. I feel like Ronda still has a lot left in the tank. What about you?
Oh, no doubt. I mean, she did a year in WWE. She exceeded, I think, more than anybody's expectations. And the fans were starting to turn on her, rightfully so, towards the end of it. Then, you know, the nostalgia of it, the kind of the shiny new toy syndrome was wearing off. And I think fans started to get a little bit tired of her being kind of this smiley. Like, I remember the expression was either happy baby or sad baby. She had like two emotions. She wasn't perfect on that end of it. But in the ring, she adapted quicker than, I mean, she was like the female version of Kurt Angle when it came to just picking things up, it seemed like. And, you know, I think that, to answer your question, yeah, she has more than enough in the tank. Of course, she's playing mom right now. So I don't think that this is something imminent, at least in the next 6 to 12 months. I mean, maybe in late 2022, 2023, we could be talking about something. But right now, I don't know what your thoughts are, but I don't believe it's anything that's going to happen, again, 6 to 12 months, probably not in my mind.
Yeah, if ever, to be honest, because yeah, as we know, she hasn't been shy to kind of knock the wrestling business whenever she gets the chance to. But I guess that's where we could pick it up to start, is when do you think, in the most realistic world, she would come back? Like, for me, I think it would almost be poetic for her to come back the way that she showed up in the first place, by coming back at the Royal Rumble. So could you see her coming back at the Royal Rumble, let's say in 2023, and even potentially winning it?
Yeah, definitely. And what will be most interesting to me, let's play that scenario out, because I do think it's realistic. Again, we're talking 2023, not this coming year's Royal Rumble, which would then lead into the LA, I believe, WrestleMania 39 stadium. So that to me would be more realistic, certainly, than this year. But having her do that, I think the most interesting piece of that would be, how do the fans react? because the fans have seen what she does when she doesn't have a script in front of her on social media, trashing the business, talking like she is some kind of grizzled longtime veteran and trying to use the lingo of shoot and work. And she, I remember her doing that on Twitter where people were losing their minds, and you know, that she was playing it off like she was trying to just get people riled up. But I think that her disrespecting the wrestling business, even if it's trying to actually get heat on her, is not the way to get heel heat. That actually is something that is just disrespectful to the business itself. So I don't know if she comes back, or playing the scenario out, how the fans react. I think it might be an initial like crowd positive reception, but I honestly, I would love to see Ronda Rousey if she returns as a heel. I've always thought that she is going to be, would be way better as a heel, because she naturally is an egotistical maniac in real life. From everything I've seen, again, I don't know her personally, of course, but everything I've seen on social media, when she's not involved in the wrestling business, when she doesn't have a script and she's on other podcasts and she seems to be just going into business for herself, she is just very kind of self-centered and would make an excellent heel, to the point where I would pay a lump sum of money to see somebody just beat the holy hell out of her. So that's how I book that.
I think that's the best way to go. But I do you not think that there may be a problem right now with bringing her back as a heel? And obviously, we're talking potentially in 15 months from now, so there could be a lot of moving parts between now and then. But I feel like they're just so heel heavy right now in the women's division and actually in the entire WWE. And I look at, let's say, the top four women's wrestlers right now. You have Charlotte, you have Becky, you have Sasha, and you have Bianca. Three of those four are heels. And then if you want to add in Bayley when she comes back, which I would presume is sometime over the winter, that's another heel. So four of your five biggest stars are still going to be heels, or are heels right now, and could very well stay that way, because we've gone over that Sasha is a way better heel, ditto for Charlotte. Becky, I mean, she's kind of like in flux right now, and I think that Bayley maybe goes back to babyface, but she's been damn good as a heel. So do you not think that it could maybe be more beneficial to begrudgingly bring her back as a babyface for that reason?
No, look, yeah, I think that her as a babyface worked for quite a while. I think, again, that would last, and it would last for a short period, and I'm fine with that. Even in the first, like, you know, 3 to 6 months of her return, keeping her as a babyface would be fun. I have no problem with that. Ultimately, though, I think her most successful days would be as a heel. Now, as you extrapolate this out, if everything remains somehow the same, like say this exact women's roster, everybody was still the baby face that they are today, everyone's the heel that they are today, moving that into 2023, yeah, like it is super heel heavy, which means you're right, you have to bring her back as a mega baby face. And that's also assuming that Charlotte Flair is still around, right? Because Charlotte Flair is rumored to be getting the hell out of WWE. We'll see if that's the case or not, to head to greener pastures in AEW. I don't know how much stock I put in that. She is certainly causing a stir in the women's locker room. That's another topic. But assuming Charlotte Flair is there, she certainly takes that top spot as the heel. Sasha, you said it's the heel. Shayna Baszler. Yeah, so if she comes back, I think it would be to Monday Night Raw, of all places, and you have Bianca Belair, who's doing an excellent job on Monday Night Raw, and she's easily the lead babyface, but wherever she lands, she has to land where Becky Lynch lands. Why would she not want to pick up right where she left off with Becky Lynch in a face-to-face? And if Becky Lynch is somehow a heel at that point, a successful heel, that'll be even more fun. But they just don't know what the hell to do with Becky, or they half-ass a heel turn and they just pull back. I don't think they know what Becky is, and that's a problem. That she's halfway, half pregnant, whatever you want to say, and it just makes no sense. But I think that Ronda, when she comes back, should be on the brand that Becky Lynch is on, because that would, to me, like, that's the rivalry everybody wants to see pick up again, I think.
So, again, assuming all things are equal for the sake of argument, that means that she would go over to Monday Night Raw And I think that it would just be so great for her because you obviously pick it up, like you alluded to, with Becky Lynch, and then you could probably transition right into Bianca Belair and then probably someone like Rhea Ripley when they kind of get her back on the tracks as a singles competitor. But do you think that maybe, like they've done with Roman Reigns or like they did with Edge initially or Brock Lesnar right now, they would move Ronda Rousey over to SmackDown because it's on Fox? And I don't like to always talk about like the background reasons, like beyond creative, but it really does seem that for the last 2 years or so, SmackDown has emerged as the A show. So I guess it's a two-part question. One, do you think WWE views Ronda Rousey on the same level of attraction like they do with Cena and Lesnar? And B, do you think she would ultimately end up on SmackDown for those reasons?
So to answer your first question, I do believe that they look at her as, in terms of name brand value, on the same level as John Cena and Brock Lesnar. I really believe that. Now, that sounds crazy to say. I'm not saying in the wrestling world she's as big of a star, but in terms of household name recognition, that is what they look at. Then I think that she is on equal footing with those men, given everything she did in UFC. I mean, she was the hottest commodity that UFC has ever seen, men or women, either division. So yes to that first question, I think they would draw off of that household brand value very quickly. And second question, do I think that they put her on SmackDown because it's on Fox? That's a good argument to make. And I think if she comes back, while I said she should be on Raw, again, all things equal, it also depends on when she comes back, because if they continue to do the annual draft, then she could be on SmackDown only for a few months, and then all of a sudden she's drafted to Raw where Becky Lynch is, and Becky Lynch stays put, and boom, you're off to the races with those two again. So she could have a program maybe with Charlotte Flair on SmackDown or Shayna Baszler on SmackDown. Sasha Banks, of course, she'd really be living in that neighborhood. I don't think she'd go anywhere else into, like, you know, a Leo or a Toni Storm. Or again, guys, this is all if things happen today in 2023, if everything was the same. But that's how I think it could play out, is if they want her on SmackDown, they could keep her there and then bring Becky over, or in the draft, depending on when the hell the draft is and when she returns, you could have Ronda Rousey move to Raw. But you're right, the Fox deal that they have, that's extremely lucrative. I think Fox would want Ronda Rousey, just like they demanded that Roman Reigns stay on SmackDown.
Well, one thing I'm realizing, and it reigns true for the division, the women's division as is without Ronda Rousey, but I feel like it's quickly becoming a very top-heavy division, where you have like the four or five, maybe six big stars, and then everyone else. And, you know, what's evident by that is the state of the tag team division, or the lack thereof. You know, the women's tag team division like doesn't even exist right now. And I think it's because there's been this widening of the gap between the top end talent and the lower end talent in the women's division. So do you think like Ronda would coming back would only further separate that gap?
Well, yes and no, because I think being top heavy, it sounds like a bad thing on its face, because, oh, well, you have no real depth. But there comes a point where if your top becomes so deep, are you really not deep anymore? Because, in other words, if you have, say, you have, again, staying with today, if you have Charlotte, you have Sasha Banks, you have Shayna Baszler, and then you have Ronda Rousey. Well, now you have four legitimate stars, where before you only had three. So again, the more stars you add, it doesn't necessarily mean you're more top heavy. It actually starts to create depth downward. So, I'm not a fan of just having one or two stars and then everyone else. But that's why you need more stars, so you're not so top heavy. And star development has been at really the center of WWE's problems, you could argue, over the last 15 years or more, has been their inability to really create stars that are needle movers. I mean, what is the last massive star that WWE has produced? Right now, they're in one of the best runs of ever of Roman Reigns. But in terms of the women's division, let's stick there. What is the last massive star that they produced? Becky Lynch? That was by accident, because in fact, it was the exact opposite effect that WWE wanted for Becky, that the fans decided, no, we want her as a babyface at SummerSlam 3 years ago. And they turned her into the biggest babyface of all time, but it was in spite of what WWE wanted. Charlotte Flair, I think, is a self-made woman. You have Sasha Banks, who you know, obviously was one of the better translations from NXT to WWE's main roster. But when you try to look at the, like, the actual star power developed from the women's division, WWE has not been very good at developing that over the last 10 years.
Well, you rattled off all those names, and they all came up together in, what was it, 2015, and then Bayley shortly thereafter.
Yeah.
So those four all kind of came at one time. They got, like, a jolt of energy in the women's division, and then it really kind of just stayed idle until Bianca Belair. And Bianca Belair, I think they're well on their way to booking into the same level as the other four that we just alluded to. But that's, what, one in the last 5 years? One big major star? Like, look how many other wrestlers they've kind of flubbed along the way. Like, I thought Alexa Bliss had that potential, but I find they really damaged her. I think that they kind of had it with Rhea Ripley, and obviously there's still a lot of runway left, but she, I think, is kind of floundering right now as well. So you kind of need that Ronda Rousey to come back into the women's division to give that jolt of star power, because I do think there's a bit of, you know, being stale with all of Sasha and Charlotte and even Becky Lynch at this point, because they all have been around on top as the undisputed five best or four best of the women's division for the last 5 years or so. Bianca Belair has kind of been that breath of fresh air, but I still think they have a little ways to go to get her on the level as the other four. But Ronda Rousey coming back, although she is, you know, like a pre-made star and outside of WWE, I think it would just add a much needed wrinkle to the top of that women's division, because as you've alluded to, you know, they're having a really tough time producing women talent.
Yeah, like, look, Ronda Rousey coming in would do nothing but help the company. Whether the fans reject her off the bat, which is possible, it is possible that the fans would just outright boo her, depending on the scenario. I think the fans would cheer her because people would just want to be in the moment. And, oh, my God, we're a part of history. Ronda Rousey's here. And I think they would just cheer her because that would be the reaction. But yeah, look, it's WWE looking in the mirror right now for how and why they don't have the women stars that they should have. And you pointed to Alexa Bliss. I mean, look at what they've done with her over the last 5 years, even. You know, they turned her from the what did she call herself originally? Not the princess, but she was like
the goddess.
Yeah, the goddess, right? We have goddesses, princess, queens. I mean, my God. But yeah, so. Right. She was the goddess, and then she was doing some stupid talk show with Nikki Cross, and then she became the kind of a fiend spinoff, and it was super successful. And now she was kind of just a watered down version of that before she left, feuding with Charlotte Flair. She should be back shortly. We'll see exactly what happens after Charlotte Flair destroyed. Don't forget, Charlotte Flair destroyed Lily. So we'll see if that snaps her back to reality or doubles down on the darkness. We don't know yet. But yeah, I mean, Alexa Bliss is a good example. Rhea Ripley, I think, is one of the best examples that you brought up because of how hot she was in NXT. They bring her up right before WrestleMania. She challenges somebody by just pointing to the WrestleMania sign, because that's the only way to officially challenge somebody to WrestleMania is to point at the sign. Otherwise, it's not real. So Rhea Ripley gets a championship match. Nobody contests it. They don't know whether to put her heel or babyface. It was so back and forth. At one point, the fans are just like, yeah, screw this. And they just stop reacting to her because they don't know what to do. I mean, if you counted the number of times Rhea Ripley was a heel and babyface, it almost was like the Big Show was booking her. It was insane how many times she flip-flopped, and that's the worst thing you can do. And so, yeah, it's a couple examples, recent examples there. But with Ronda Rousey coming back, I think it absolutely would be a shot of adrenaline to the women's division. And really, when she left after WrestleMania 35, it did feel like she left a pretty big hole. I mean, it felt like the women's division kind of slouched after that. Yeah, you had Becky Lynch as champion now. She conquered the mountain. That was Ronda Rousey, albeit a roll-up. Don't forget that match ended in a roll-up, a backslide, I believe it was. So there's that. But she did you know, climbed the mountain. She got the victory even after an 8-hour show. And so, yeah, I mean, no doubt, Ronda Rousey, heel or babyface, you talk about a needle mover, you talk about people talking again and getting the women's division back on track. I think she could do that because anybody she gets in the ring with would get that rub from her.
And I think Ronda Rousey kind of has the Brock Lesnar effect on people, where they always hate when he's there, but then when they leave, you realize how big of a hole they've left behind. And, you know, I'm not saying I like Ronda Rousey nearly as much as I like Brock Lesnar, in large part because she only stuck around for about 14 months in WWE. But she still brought that legitimacy to a division that was still kind of carving out its way as a legitimate, you know, kind of division in WWE. Because when Ronda showed up in 2018, in my personal opinion, it is what finally legitimized the women's division as anything other thing but a joke. Because let's be honest, in the early 2010s, the women's division was just a big joke. And when Ronda left, yeah, it was right in the middle of the Becky Lynch meteoric rise. And then kind of they tried to substitute with Lacey Evans as well. You had Bayley cash in Money in the Bank. And, you know, I like all those wrestlers. But the thing is that none of them carry the name value of Ronda Rousey. And I guess that was my next question. Do you think any of these current women wrestler, like Charlotte or Becky Lynch or Sasha, could somewhat match the name value of Ronda Rousey?
I guess it depends what circles that you're running in, because if you're talking about the casual person walking down the street that doesn't really watch a whole lot of wrestling, but you know, they know general sports knowledge. They have some kind of base of knowledge. I think that they would say, oh, well, I think I've heard of Becky Lynch. I think I've heard of Charlotte. Yeah. I think I know who they are. But you say Ronda Rousey, they're going to go, oh, hell yeah, I know who that is. You know, so if you look at it from the perspective of just kind of the common man or woman, I think that certainly Ronda Rousey has the edge there. But if you're talking in the circles of wrestling and the wrestling fandom, you know, not only would the respect go to Becky, Charlotte, Sasha, the people that have been there day in, day out for years, but I think the name recognition would be on par with Ronda. Now, not that wrestling fans don't know who Ronda is. Certainly they do. But it depends, again, sports world, what genre. If you're just talking about the common person, I think you give the edge to Ronda. And I do wonder who she would work with. Like, I mean, when she comes in, maybe that's a good question for you. If I think it's not – I don't know if this is really a when. This is probably still a what if. I think it is certainly a iffy for sure. Who would Ronda work with beyond Becky Lynch? I mean, that's a slam dunk. She would eventually get there. Say she has a year contract again. Absolutely, Becky Lynch is on that target list. But who do you think that she could work with in her run, say it's a year long? Who do you see and who could benefit the most from it?
Well, one thing is that let's check off some of the women that she's already faced off against. So she's already tangled with Charlotte. We obviously know Becky Lynch and Sasha Banks. So those three I would avoid. Well, those two after Becky Lynch I would avoid because been there, done that. Personally, I would like her to work with Shayna Baszler because I believe there's a personal relationship there between Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler. They obviously both have the MMA background. And I think that Shayna Baszler would benefit immensely from it. It would be far and away her biggest program to date in WWE. And to be honest, I think that it would really kind of make sense for Shayna to go over in the end. But the problem is that have they built Shayna Baszler even close to well enough to match up against someone like Ronda Rousey? Like, I love Shayna Baszler, but they have really done a poor, poor job of building her character over the last 2 years or so. So I don't think that she would have the name value to go against Becky Lynch and be a good enough draw at this point. And it's more of an indictment on WWE's creative. So I think it would be a collision course with Bianca Belair for two reasons. One, we've never seen it before. And B, Bianca Belair is arguably the top woman in the company right now, by far the top babyface, as you alluded to before. So personally, I would like to see it with Shayna Baszler for obvious reasons, but I think WWE would go with Bianca Belair.
Yeah, Bianca Belair and Ronda Rousey would be an awesome matchup. And actually, I mean, in my fantasy booking, I would love to see Bianca Belair as the great babyface she is. I would not want Bianca to turn heel at any point, in at least in the near future. As a heel down the line, sure, I could see it. But right now, if this were to happen, I'd have Ronda Rousey come back. You could do a babyface, but again, I'd still love to see Ronda Rousey as a heel against the rookie. I shouldn't even say that anymore. She's not a rookie anymore. But Bianca Belair, the heavy fan favorite. I think that'd be an excellent dynamic. I think Ronda Rousey, or rather Bianca, could easily hold her own against Ronda Rousey on the mic. By the way, Ronda Rousey on the microphone is not great. She's kind of awkward on the mic. She's got her moments. She has a gravitational pull to her, just who she is and just something about her, absolutely. And she has had some okay promos to decent promos, but I remember her talking about avocado toast one time, about millennials eating avocado toast. I'm like, what are we even talking about anymore? And that's, I think that was later on in her 1 year run with WWE. But I think Bianca would destroy her on the microphone now that I think about it, if she really wanted to. But Bianca Belair, I think, is absolutely on the list. You could have Rhea Ripley, depending on if they were able to revive her career. Shayna Baszler, as you said, the mismanagement that WWE has really done with her career is criminal. And they started reviving her a little bit over the last 2 months, where she started snapping people's arms. But really, when you look back, Shayna snapping people's arms was really just them using Shayna Baszler to write off people on TV that they knew they were going to fire anyway, right? Like, they just used Shayna Baszler not to really elevate Shayna, but to just use her as a reason to get Nia Jax and Eva Marie off TV. That's it. Because since then, she's done nothing. She's done nothing other than be kind of the lackey for Sonya Deville in her program with Naomi. Maybe that's a whole other rant in and of itself. But yeah, so to your point, yes, Shayna Baszler is a built-in one. Bianca Belair is an absolute must. Becky Lynch. And you could have some kind of side programs with Charlotte and Sasha, just because people, you know, they'd want to see it.
Do you think that someone like Shayna, and let's say another woman like Liv Morgan, would suffer because of a Ronda Rousey return?
Well, they did the first time around. I mean, I remember when Ronda Rousey came around and she was basically using the Riot Squad as a punching bag every single Monday Night Raw. I mean, she would just mow them down every show, especially leading into when they got really close to WrestleMania 35. She was just ragdolling them around. I mean, to the point where I thought she was really hurting the women. So maybe this time around, things may be different. And this is where the rub from Ronda, this is where you want to use it, is to help elevate these women, not just to do a squash and have Ronda make them taps really quickly. We all know that Ronda's a made woman. You don't need to make her any further at the expense of bringing down talent that don't need to be brought down anymore. They need to be brought up. So you need to have a respectable showing against Ronda. Maybe have like a fluke victory for Liv Morgan, or at least a perceived fluke victory, where she's getting dominated and all of a sudden she pulls out the roll up and gets the quick victory. The fans lose their minds, and then continue to build Liv from there. But I do fear, though, that if they brought Ronda in, that she would just be the buzzsaw again, and Liv Morgan would be one of the victims. Dana Brooke would certainly be one of the victims.
Zelina, oh my God. Yeah.
Zelina Vega, who else? Aaliyah at this point. I mean, Toni Storm. You would have these women who are just essentially sacrificial lambs at the altar of Ronda Rousey. That I know why they do it, but it's not doing those, in that instance, like six women any favors.
Do you think that she would be elevated even above, let's say, like Bianca Belair, Charlotte Flair, Becky Lynch? Like, do you think she would go right to the top of the food chain? Because I'm trying to put myself in Vince's head, and as he so likes to do, he'll always value the legends, right? And it's crazy to kind of, I don't know if she's really a legend, but you know what I mean, like a part-time star. And, like, I could see him, like, using Ronda how he uses Brock in a lot of ways. Like, I just wonder if she would come back and almost push even the likes of, like, Sasha and Becky and Bianca down the ladder. Like, could you see that happening at all?
Yeah. Well, that would be a fear of mine. And if they did that, I think that that's where a lot of resentment, especially if they're trying to bill her as a babyface, would come in, and the fans would be like, okay, yeah, we've seen that. We've seen this. We've been there. We've done that. We're not going to have her walk in here for, what, another 6 to 12 month contract and then just crap all over the women here, shoot to the front of the line, do what Goldberg does and feel like he's just entitled to a championship match because he walks in the building. And then at the expense of all the other women that are there on a daily basis, busting their asses, that's, I'm fearful of that. Yes, I am. Because sometimes they can't see the forest through the trees, and you just have this extremely short-sightedness that Vince has of, well, we gotta make Ronda as big as we can, as big as we can, as big as we can, not realizing that you're doing that at the expense of your other top stars that you've really been trying to build for years. For what? A woman that's only here as essentially a rental? I mean, she'd be here, assumingly, for a year at the most. She's, whenever Ronda Rousey does return, it's not going to be long term. She doesn't need the money. I don't think, wants to deal with the travel. She doesn't want to deal with the schedule, the grueling part of what she does. She's already a made woman. She's got her millions. So I don't think that you're going to, if I was Vince, and, you know, I would not want to just throw everything I can at a rental for the hope that whoever she performs with is going to also be elevated to that level of Ronda Rousey. I mean, they really need to rethink that if that's the case.
So ultimately, and I'll give my thoughts after you go, but do you think a Ronda Rousey return would be ultimately good for the company or ultimately bad?
I think that it'd be really hard to screw up. And I know, just when we went through some of the scenarios that could happen and things we're concerned about that they could do, just mowing down talent, and it's all about Ronda, which is possible. But, you know, I think that is an extreme scenario. I think that's kind of a fringe possibility. I think more than likely it would be really hard to screw up because, number one, social media is going to blow up. What does that mean? More people are watching the product or bring people back. There was a hole that Ronda left. I think that she would help refill that and then make the women's division better than she left it. And when she does leave, you're in a scenario where, okay, Ronda left, that sucks, but at least we have X, Y, and Z that can fill that spot, and it doesn't feel so just absolutely egregious. So that, guys, is exactly where I got cut off. So I just cut myself off, but I really had to end the show there because of dad duties. So again, my apologies for this being so abrupt and us getting cut off mid-sentence, but at least you got about a 30-minute show of the What If, and we had more to say, but, you know, maybe we'll pick it up on another time. It was a great conversation with Anthony, always is, and really enjoy him being part of the team here. And that really does it for us this week. Again, you know my schedule for the rest of the week, our schedule as a team here on the show for your coverage of the pay-per-view. And I will say, next week with Anthony, we will be doing a From the Vault version. Since it's Thanksgiving week, we're going to give myself and Anthony a bit of a breather from the show and our recording duties. And it'll be a From the Vault show, and one that we have not published in quite a while. So that'll be next week, and then we'll pick up with our brand new fresh version for you the following week. So just a heads up there. But thank you, everybody, for sticking with us here. And the best way to support us, if you want to, and yes, it's not optional, that this is something you must do, is giving us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts and giving us a review there. You can also go ad-free on Patreon, which is always a blast, because you don't have to listen to any of the ads that we have throughout the show. It's just very simple, streamlined, and you can get be a part of our Discord server. So everybody, thank you so much for listening. I'll talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening to the WWE Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app so you don't miss a show, or head to WWEpodcast.com. And for all of these shows ad-free, head over to patreon.com/WWE podcast. Until then, we'll see you next time.